Leland Faust joins us. And Leland, nice to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm great. Happy to be here, Marty.
Yeah, let me give the folks a little bit of your background. And you've dipped your toe into the waters of baseball, but you've done some amazing things in the world, and I want people to know who you are. Leland is a financial expert, author, speaker, and a triathlete. He founded CSI Capital Management, was chief investment officer for 33 years, managed over $1.5 billion, all my money, I guess, Leland, right? He's represented over 500 NFL, NBA, and MLB stars, as well as Grammy and Academy Award winners and other high-wealth individuals, foundations, family trusts, and retirement plans. Now, you've also been named by the Sporting News to its annual list of the 100 most powerful people in the sports industry. Only two investment advisors ever were selected for that list. So that's who you are. But you have taken a stab here at baseball and writing about it. And how did this come about? What perked your interest?
Well, I've, for many years, been a, sort of a, one of the stat freaks. I always loved math in high school, college, and I always loved baseball. So, you know, just when I started to be a kid, I started paying attention to these things. And then as the sabermetrics revolution took place, you know, I was a real, you know, interested and fan of that. Plus, representing players and their livelihood and how much they made depended on statistics to a large degree, I paid a lot more attention to it.
Well, I love it. As a kid, I always said if you had baseball cards and you looked at the back and all the numbers, you weren't afraid of math. And the kids who like baseball cards became better math students. So I think there's some truth in that. And I know you've enjoyed the sabermetric part of it. Let me ask you about this. And we have all the analytics in baseball before we get into your topic. Are there any analytics that you say, boy, that's a number I want to see? That tells me something. Is there one that jumps out at you?
Well, I think on the offensive side, it's a sort of a variant, not quite, of the, you know, the on base plus slugging. And that is there's one that was created by Bill James originally, who was, you know, this founder really of sabermetrics. And it's the run created formula, which is essentially, not exactly, but essentially, it's like a slugging percentage, but it includes base on balls. So if you got a lot of walks, then you get a lot of credit for that. And because that gets you how many times you're on base plus how many, you know, bases you're creating. You get a lot more credit for a home run or a double than you do for a single or a walk. And if I were going to pick one, and I know that's one that's not used much, but that's the one I would look at because it really wraps everything offensive into it.
Very, very well explained. You know, it's funny you said that. I asked that question of a major league manager just recently. I don't have to name him. And I said, what was that? I asked the exact same question. What's the one analytic that you look for? And he went for OPS. He said, tells me more than anything because the guy's getting on. And when he does hit, he's creating a lot of bases, and that creates runs.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, very good. This Derek Holland, who pitches tonight, and I'll mention this to you, and you know, I do the workup for the game, and I'm always interested to see certain stats that jump out of me. He hasn't given up many hits, only 15 and two-thirds innings. He's given up 11 hits, only 6 walks. So his walks-to-hits inning pitch, very good at 1.09. But of his 11 hits, 6 have been for extra bases. And that's the trouble.
Well, absolutely. And not giving up extra base hits, one of my clients way back when, an old Giants fan I remember, was Greg Minton. And he was just one of the best closers in baseball for, you know, a few years. But one of the reasons was he and it's going to sound like an exaggeration, he never gave up a home run. And I believe he still holds the major league record for the most consecutive innings pitched without giving up a home run.
Yeah, the Moon Man, I think it's like 254 or something like that.
Right, which would be over a full season as a starter. About that.
Yeah, the Moon Man. Oh, yeah, I've talked to him about it, and he is appropriately named the Moon Man, believe me. Greg Minton, he really was out there, let's put it that way. But he had a great sinker, and they couldn't lift it. The other thing, I could chat with you forever about some of the analytics. The same major league manager told me that you have to pitch high in the strike zone now, because if you do that, they can't get under the ball with this ridiculous launch angle, that if you're throwing at the waist down to the knees, they can get under it. And now baseball has changed where guys like Samardzija or the old Jim Palmer, who could pitch high in the strike zone, those are guys who are valuable now.
Well, that makes sense. I haven't, the strike zone issue is newer, and I haven't personally followed it as closely as maybe I'd like to. But that certainly makes a whole lot of sense, and that's the type of thing they have to look at for sure, because we know absolutely that balls that hit in the air are a whole lot more problem for the fielder, so they want to make sure they can't get under it.
Yeah, if you're a ground ball hitter today, they don't want to know your name. They don't want to know from you. If you're a guy who hits ground balls, that's why the shift is the way it is, and a lot of the ground ball hitters have got to learn how to loft it, but that's another story. All right, let's talk about your subject matter, which is really interesting to me, and that's about closers in baseball, and you have an opinion on this that you can back up with some numbers, so I'd love to hear your thought.
Well, my basic thought is that the closer is just a sort of made up position. We had 9 players for years, and the DH came along, and that's really a different position. But the closer just happens to be the guy who's out there in the ninth inning with a lead, and it's been drawn up to these incredible proportions. You can't win without a closer, or it's so important. And in fact, if you look at the statistics, it's just the opposite. There's been no change in the last 60 years in the percentage of games won by teams that were leading going into the ninth inning. So in 1960, 1970, 1980, et cetera, the number was about 95%. So if you're ahead going into the ninth, never mind if you're ahead by more than one, but in 95% of the time, your team won. And the fact that we now have specialists and closers and right-handed closers or left-handed relieving specialists, if you're ahead in the ninth, it's still 95%. So that's not where the games are won and lost. They're won and lost in a whole lot of other things. Interestingly enough, one year recently, I looked at the Giants, and they were, give or take, just about that for the ninth inning. But the statistic which jumped off the page to me was they were 80% wins in the game they scored first. So think about that. Which is more important, holding on to those 5% when you're ahead in the ninth, or scoring first and winning 80% of the time?
Yeah, no, very good. It's a compelling argument. Jim Palmer told me years ago, he said outs 25, 26, and 27 are the toughest outs in baseball to get. But I guess it's, according to the numbers, 95% of the time, whether you're closer by committee, which is one of those three-word phrases that you don't ever want to hear. The Red Sox said it a few years ago, and it almost started the world spun off its axis. But those last three outs are the toughest in baseball, according to Jim Palmer. Do you agree with that?
Well, completely interesting statement by him. And look, he's been there and done it. I haven't. I get that. However, I totally disagree, and I think that he would vote with me. Which is harder? Which is more pressure? You come in the ninth inning ahead 3-0, and you got to get 3 outs. And by the way, maybe you're pitching the bottom of the order. Or how about the game is tied, and it's in the eighth inning, and bases are loaded, and you got to come in and pitch. Now, which is a harder out?
No, I agree. I've learned over my years. Leland Faust is with us. A pleasure to talk baseball with him. I've learned over the years the save can come anytime. In fact, I've seen the save come more often in the sixth inning than the ninth inning.
Well, exactly. The save, maybe not by definition, because a player doesn't end up closing, being the last pitcher in the game, so he doesn't get the save. But absolutely, you bring him a tough situation in the sixth or the seventh, he gets out of it. That's when you really save the game, not if the team happens to be ahead and you hold on. And I mean, it's so obvious to me when I look at it that the so-called closer is the only thing you can easily replace time after time after time with a rookie. And an easy example, who is the best closer ever? I believe it was Mariano Rivera, okay? And you look at his stats, and you look at how he pitched and other stats, not just the saves. Okay, well, what happened when in the 4 years since he has left the Yankees, if I took the best home run hitter ever in baseball, whoever you think it is. And I said, we're replacing him. Could, over the next 4 years, could his four different replacements do better?
No.
But guess what? The Yankees have had a better save percentage in the 4 years since Rivera left than when he was there.
Well, of course, they have Chapman, and they did replace him with some pretty good players.
Well, pardon me, Marty, this could get me in trouble here. Chapman last year, he may pitch 100 miles an hour, but last year Chapman had the 30 closers in baseball. Chapman was 20th in save percentage.
All right, but still, I think the closers the Yankees had probably were top-of-the-line closers.
Absolutely. Yeah. Clearly they were. But you can't replace the best of all time by looking down the bench and saying, hey, Robertson, you get to do it this year. And then you bring in Stoddard the next year. I mean, these are great pitchers, don't get me wrong. But you can't just decide who it's going to be for a hitter or a top fielder or starter.
Well, let me ask you this. Well, first of all, I think the natural discussion would be that you're not going to pay $16 million for a closer. It's foolish to do that. If sort of anybody can do the job, why spend that kind of money on your payroll for a closer?
Well, yeah, that's right. You want to if literally every piece is put together, you want to have a really good reliever be a closer, great. But you can buy a lot more for $15 million than a half a game or so in the standings, which is what we're literally talking about between kind of an average closer and a really great closer.
So if you're the Giants, what do you do? Melanson's out. Who knows when he'll be back? They've given the job to Strickland. I think he's 2-5, 3-5. Some he's blown a couple of them. If you don't want to close with him, you try Tony Watson. If you don't want to do that, maybe you try Dyson. But it's hard to do it unless, I don't know, I still think you have to designate somebody to do it. I don't think you could just, go say, all right, tonight you're the guy who's going to close the game.
Well, maybe you get a couple of guys, a lefty or righty, and see how they do it. That's how they, when Wilson went out, he pitched great in 2010. He goes out. They replaced him with committee. Then Romo, right. Kind of emerged. Then he didn't do so well. Then they had the committee in 2014, which ended up with Casilla. So, I mean, this is sort of how I would look at it. And, spend the money shoring up, something else that's a lot more, going to be a lot more important in the long run, including for that kind of money, a good starter.
All right. Look, I love the discussion, and I appreciate you being on. Very provocative. And where can someone, if they want to read your article, where would the best place be to find your article on this?
Well, I think probably the best place, well, let's do it. One, if you go to the San Francisco Business Times website, or if you go to my website, LelandFaust.com, there should be a link to it.
Oh, perfect. Well, I appreciate you being on, and I'll say those words, tinker to Evers to chance. There's no worse word than closer by committee.
All right. Thanks a million.
All right. Take care. All right. That is Leland Faust. He said, thanks a million, Raph. I like that. Thanks a billion. What a man. Very good. I love the fact that he's taken all the analytics that he's done in the world and managed so much money for very important people and made a lot of money, and he's turned it into baseball. I like it. All right. You never know what we're going to hear on this show. All right. Very good. More coming up in the Sports Leader.
Talking baseball with Marty Lurie on KNBR 680, the Sports Leader.